Welcome to The Generative Age,
a podcast that explores the rapidly evolving world of generative AI and its impact on education.
Guided by EdTech director, author, and Nightscape board member, Alana Winnick, we are joined by experts and practitioners in the field who are shaping this course of artificial intelligence in the classroom.
Whether you're an educator, administrator, technology leader, or simply interested in the future of education, join us on this journey through The Generative Age, powered by Nightscape. Welcome back, everyone. Today marks a significant milestone for the Generative Age podcast as we celebrate its one-year anniversary. What began as a webinar through Nightscape back in January 2023 has evolved beyond my wildest dreams into this very podcast. I'm grateful for your support and curiosity as we journey through the Generative Age together. And to celebrate, I'm launching my very first solo episode, where I'll be sharing some exciting updates from the field. Then we'll dive into a practical approach to introduce AI to both your teachers and students. In recent news, a team of college students successfully used machine learning to decode a portion of an ancient Roman scroll, which was buried by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. This not only revealed a new piece of history, but it also showcased the incredible potential of AI in unlocking secrets from our past. Moving on to the tech giants. Google announced that they recently made the decision to pause Gemini's image generation of people while they work on improving the accuracy of its responses. They stated it's clear that this feature missed the mark. Some of the images they generated were inaccurate or even offensive. I've linked some examples here for your review, which includes ethnic diversity when prompting an image of the founding fathers. And we all know that there's no ethnic diversity in that. When asking for professional American football players, there were images of women, and we know that there has never been a woman American football player, at least not that I'm aware of. And another example includes Asian and Black males when prompting for an example of a 1943 German soldier. We know that there wasn't much diversity back during World War II in Nazi Germany. So, what went wrong here? In tuning the model to ensure it generated a wide range of people, it failed to account for cases that should clearly not show a wide range of people. As we've learned from Ken Shelton in the last episode, large language models must consider diversity, but it's even more important that they get it right. I've linked Google's statement about how this happened and what they're doing to fix it, so check out the show notes for more information. Next up is OpenAI. They've announced that they're testing memory within ChatGPT. ChatGPT can now remember things you discuss across all chats, which saves you from having to repeat information over and over and makes future conversations more helpful. But just know that you're in control of the memory. You can explicitly tell it to remember something, ask it what it remembers, and tell it to forget things both conversationally or through settings. You can also turn this feature off entirely. Another feature of ChatGPT is now you can turn off chat history, which allows you to choose which conversations can be used to train their model and which cannot. This is very important when thinking about data privacy and security. Lastly, OpenAI is working on a new model called Sora. Sora can create realistic images and imaginative videos from text instructions. Currently, this is only released to handpicked individuals ranging from artists, designers, and filmmakers. This will be a leap for OpenAI in terms of multimodal outputs and allow less advanced people like me to bring my creations to life. So I'm really looking forward to this one. Now let's dive into part two. As educators, it's our responsibility to prepare students for their future and shed light on AI and its implications. So in this episode, I'm going to share with you how my district introduced AI to the bright young minds of our students in grades one and up. I know that sounds really young, but we already have a coding initiative in first grade. So I thought it was really important to decipher the difference between coding and machine learning with a focus on teaching them about AI bias, discrimination, and misinformation from the very start, turning them into detectives of their AI-generated creations. They're encountering AI both inside and outside of school, whether it's in conversations with friends and family, on social media, or embedded directly into tools they already use and love, such as Google, Microsoft, Canva, Adobe, and Snapchat, which is likely their main form of communication with their peers. Snapchat has a built-in My AI chatbot, so there's really no hiding it from students. AI is not going anywhere, and it's becoming an integral part of their digital landscape. And it was initially recorded during my interview with Ken, but I thought it was the perfect content for my very first solo episode, so here we go. When we rolled out AI with our students in my district, I personally rolled it out because I felt like some teachers didn't necessarily feel like they had the confidence to do it themselves. So I said, okay, teachers can learn along with students. That's an ISTE standard. And they were sitting in the classrooms. And so the first thing I did was, what is AI? So I defined it just like you said at the beginning, like, what is it? So we defined it and we have a coding initiative. So I described what is the difference between coding versus machine learning or AI. So they understood the difference between training an AI model versus telling the computer exactly what to do in coding. So then we used this code.org activity and they learned how models were trained, sort of. It was like this robot and we were sorting through the fish and the garbage in the ocean to try to help save the fish. And on purpose, we trained the model poorly on purpose because I wanted them to see that the model is only as good as the human that's training it. So if we did not train it well, then it was going to kill some fish and some garbage was going to stay in the ocean because I thought that was very important. And then we trained it a bit better. And then they saw that our training really impacted the model. Then the next thing I did was talked about bias, not even around AI, even in first grade, they're 6 years old. They didn't really know what bias was. You have to describe it. So I said, how about this? You're an AI image generator. I want you to generate an image of a nurse. What does the nurse look like? What do you think the first word out of their mouth is?
Female.
She has a woman who, something like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, why does it have to be a woman? And they're
correct.
It doesn't. And then I was like, okay, what other biases do you know in the world? And they were saying things like, a girl's a ballerina, a boy's a football player, all these things. But the way I described it was, if there was 100 pictures of a nurse, and 95 of those pictures were women and 5 are men, or, you know, any gender, then the AI would just probably assume that it was a woman just because that's, there was most of the data there. So I explained both things. But then when I was starting to ask them about biases that existed in the world, and I didn't prompt them, I only gave them the nurse example. I had a second grader say, after all the kids were saying, like, boys are firefighters and girls are cheerleaders, and they went on this whole thing, and one boy said, why do they all have to be boys and girls? What about the they thems? And I was like, wow, look at that. And then another one, this is the one I texted you about, a fourth grader said to me, my stomach dropped and I didn't know how to handle this because I wasn't expecting it to happen in a fourth grade classroom and I'm not trained on this. So I just wanted to ask you for feedback in case this happens to someone else. A black fourth grader said to me, AI would think I was a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
And my stomach dropped. And your words were, well, he's not wrong. What advice would you give to a teacher that was in my shoes on how to handle that moment? Are you interested in hearing his response? Well, tune in to my last episode with Ken to find out. Also, I'm working on developing a step-by-step tutorial on how you can roll out this lesson with your own teachers and students. So visit my website, alanawinnick.com, and sign up for my mailing list so you can be the first to know. See you next time for another exciting episode featuring Holly Clark. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Generative Age, powered by Nicescape. For a deeper dive, check out my new book titled, How'd You Guess? The Generative Age, now available on Amazon.
Our journey may pause here, but the conversation doesn't need to end.
Stay connected and informed by following me on social media at Alana Winnick and subscribing to my newsletter, all conveniently accessible on my website, alanawinnick.com.
Don't just listen, be a part of it. With your free Nicescape membership, you can join these live discussions, enroll in our free Generative Age Nicescape community, where you can share resources, ask questions, and collaborate with like-minded colleagues. If you enjoyed this podcast, consider leaving a review and telling a colleague or a friend.
We've got so much more in store, so be sure to join us next time for another exciting conversation. Until then, keep learning and keep growing in the generative age.